Welcome to the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs. You'll hear insights and ideas from the world's top entrepreneurs and thought leaders,
designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle.
Now here's your host, Steve Cypress.
Oh, hello, here we are. It is Success Story Saturday, December 30th, 2017. One more day left in the year, final Success Story Saturday of the year. And until now, I've always highlighted an entrepreneur, a success story of a person, an entrepreneur. But today, in honor of that New Year's Eve is tomorrow, and pretty much the headquarters for New Year's Eve, in at least in the United States, if not most well-known around the world, is Times Square in New York, where there's estimated every year, these recent year comes about 1 million people. Everett is here. Great seeing you. About 1 million people gather in Times Square, so I figured I'd tell a little bit about the success story of Times Square. And first, I share, as always, my Rhino of the Day, which today is this matchbook. Oh, you can't see it when I use the phone here because it's reverse. You can't read it, but it's from the Spearmint Rhino Gentlemen's Club, which I got this in Las Vegas. But I figured it was very fitting when I'm talking about Times Square, because Times Square pretty much mirrors as a place, as a concept, it mirrors pretty much the life of an entrepreneur, because it's full of twists and turns and ups and downs and opportunities and all kinds of troubles and turnarounds and all kinds of things going on, just like we entrepreneurs go through in our life. Hey, Rob is here. Good seeing you. Happy New Year. And so there's a fun book called, I think it's called Inventing Times Square, and I'm not sure who it's by, but I remember reading that at somebody's place. It was on the coffee table, and I went through it, and I just thought it was really cool. Hey, Jim, pretty much about anything you can read about entrepreneur, it was built and sustained pretty much all by entrepreneurs. See, because it started and still is an entertainment area. I think Oscar Hammerstein built the first big theater in Times Square or right near Times Square or something, and then others followed suit with all kinds of other theaters. And this is a teachable moment, because I talk about it often, how to find ways to work with your, quote, competitors instead of beating your head against the wall and thinking you're going to compete with them, which is a lot of wasted time and effort and a lot of wasted opportunity that can be gained by working with them. Hey, Rob. And so Times Square is one of the obvious examples of, quote, competitors working together, because as soon as a theater establish itself there, and then other theaters did, well, then all the producers can have their offices there, and all the people behind the scenes that produce the sets and the props and do all that kind of work and get the costumes, they can have all their warehouses all in that area, and all restaurants can pop up, and hotels, and apartments where all the actors that are going to come in, or touring actors, can stay, and they can live, and tourists can come in, and so a whole area builds up where if you wanted to start a theater in New York City, what are you going to, I ask the question I always ask when I talk about this topic is, would you rather locate, hey, there's an area town way out and wherever where there's no other theater, you'll be the only one around, or, hey, why don't you get a theater right there in Times Square where millions of people come and just say, I'm just going to go to Times Square and see what show there is and buy tickets and spend money there. So, of course, you'd want to be around where your, quote, competitors are. They're all working together, and the actors can move from one theater to another, and you can design a set in one theater and go two blocks away and be designing a set in another one if you're a set designing company. And so it helps that everyone is all together in one place. That's Times Square. And so this Hammerstein was about the turn of the 20th century building that first big theater. And then theater in those days, you know, there was no movies. I mean, there was no talking, no music in movies. And there was no, you know, TV. There was no, obviously, no internet, no VCRs, no DVDs, none of that stuff. Live theater was it. And so the area boomed, and certainly through the Roaring Twenties, I think it was the heyday of Broadway, which was in Times Square. Broadway is the street. By the way, if you watch Times Square tomorrow night and watch the apple drop. That's right. That's Broadway. That's a street that goes through it. Brett Olaya is here. Great seeing you. So all the Broadway shows are all right in and around Times Square in New York. And where was I? And these are built by entrepreneurs, which, by the way, I know that the entertainment industry, when it comes to live theater, which encompassed what they call legitimate theater and vaudeville, which vaudeville has died out now, but that was, you know, live, low-brow type of comedy shows or entertainment shows where the theater was, it's one play that you're seeing instead of a bunch of acts of singing, dancing, variety, that stuff. But, see, the theater, whether it's vaudeville or what's known as legitimate theater, a Broadway show, it is all entrepreneurial in nature because it has to turn a profit. It's a business. It has to be run as a business and make money, unlike lots of other forms of live entertainment that all depend on government or other subsidies, private and public money coming in, donations and sponsors and subsidies and that stuff. If you're thinking of opera and symphonies and ballet and museums and all kind of things like that, all are seen as so highbrow and hoity-toity and special, whatever. They can get all kinds of donors and funding and whatever. But the theater, man, you got to make money. So that takes entrepreneurs. And entrepreneurs had to know the pulse of what the people wanted, especially when New York became pretty much the starting point for all the touring theater companies. As the evolution of the theater industry, as companies would tour all around the country, so you wouldn't have to depend on your little local theater house in whatever town you're in and the actors, what play are they going to put on next month? No, an out-of-town big whole production would come in with their own staging, their own actors, their own music, their own everything, and they tour around the country. Well, that needed somewhere to start. And it started in Times Square, New York, where they could try out the shows. And if you made it there, then you could go on tour. And sometimes if you failed there, you could go on tour anywhere. And, of course, entrepreneurs, being great marketers, would be trumpeting all throughout the towns in America, hey, this show originated in Times Square in New York, as if, like, it was successful there. We didn't say it was successful. We just said, hey, come see the big show coming to this little town from New York. So Times Square became this hub of entrepreneurialism, of constantly keeping a pulse on what I call in the WOW strategy, the who, the target market, the people that you want to do business with you, to come give you money to come see your show. You had to have entrepreneurs who made it their business, had to. It's life and death for an entrepreneur to figure out what the people are going to want. And sometimes what people wanted in New York was different what they wanted the rest of the country. So the idea was to find enough of both, enough of what people would like in New York and that would also sustain itself as it went around the country. It's a very entrepreneurial thing to do. By the way, still lives to this day that a lot of our most famous entertainers and celebrities come out of New York. They're brash New Yorkers, straight-talking, tell-it-like-it-is, right-to-the-point New Yorkers, and yet they play very well around the country, which me, being a New Yorker, I wouldn't figure that. I always thought, like, wow, people think New Yorkers are rude, whatever. But, from Howard Stern, well, he's kind of a rude, crass New Yorker. Yeah, but he's the most successful radio personality there is, makes like $500 million from being on the radio all around the country, whatever. Hey, Rich is here. Great seeing you. Well, the most famous one now, Donald Trump. Here you got a guy is that not a brash talking New Yorker, straight to the point, blah, 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 but somehow has support all over the country for this brash, rude type of New York attitude. So those are entrepreneurs. That's how entrepreneurs are. Entrepreneurs have to, we got to be brash, bold, risk-taking, against the grain, against the rules, and that's really Times Square. So Times Square had its ups and downs through the roaring 20s was the heyday of Broadway with like 100 or 200 shows a year being produced there. And then the Depression hit, and so all throughout the 30s and the 40s, that's where the little kind of seedy nightclubs, especially thanks to Prohibition through the 20s, some speakeasies and nightclubs and lots of crime. But the area was a crime area, by the way, before Hammerstein built that first big theater. It was one of the most dangerous areas in New York. So low rent. You could build a big place there really cheap. And by the way, that was before unions back then, about 100 years ago. So even getting the actors to act was really cheap. And I heard that there were things like they didn't have to pay them during the weeks and weeks and weeks of rehearsal. They somehow, you know, without unions, without any kind of, smart sense or bargaining power of the actors, they agreed that, like, while they're rehearsing and there's no tickets being sold, I guess they don't get paid yet. So they're just kind of working on getting the thing going. So even the actors were kind of entrepreneurial, right? Like we all are when we start up. We're not making all the money in the world and banking all kinds of cash when we're starting up. That's when we're investing all of our time and energy to get something going. That's how Broadway shows were back in the day. And so a whole very entrepreneurial thing. So as far as ups and downs, you know, ups through the 20s, had tough times through the 30s, and crime kind of came back, and radio started to boom, and movies started to get, sound, talking, music in them, supplanting a little bit of the shows going around. So theater was dying down in a tough time there. And then when I was a kid in the 60s and 70s, New York, man, Times Square was, again, once again, one of the most dangerous areas. That's where all the drugs and the prostitution, again, forms of entertainment, but these real dens of iniquity were in Times Square. It was a daring place to go. When I worked in Madison Square Garden as a teenager in New York in the late 70s, and that's only, 8-10 blocks away from Times Square, we would walk over there once in a while. Man, that was a rough place. Hey, Patrick Keener's here. Good seeing you. And so that's Times Square going through its ups and downs. And then nowadays, if you go to Times Square now, it's like Disneyland. I mean, I remember being there for a conference a few years ago at the Marriott Marquis right in Times Square, and I came in a few days early, as I usually do to these conferences, to meet with clients, and plus I have family there, and I saw my mom and all, and so, but I remember just on a break or before or after one day, just kind of hanging around, looking around Times Square, and there's police everywhere, and I remember I looked at an officer, and I was like, man, he looked to be about my age, and I was like, man, this place has incredibly changed since I was here, used to hang out kind of here when I worked in the garden when I was a teenager in the 70s when you wouldn't bring a kid to Times Square in the 70s. You'd never bring anyone there that wasn't, prepared to get accosted and mugged and all the stuff that was going on there. And so, but now it was like, I mean, it goes to, you'll see that on New Year's, of course, but it's, even at other times of the year, it's like well lit and it goes on till the night and it's got, all these entrepreneurs, again, these cartoon characters walking around, accosting people and getting 20 bucks to take a photo with them and kind of threatening you if you don't give them 20 bucks and whatever. And, like, no one can stop them because the rules in New York say you're allowed to do it and panhandle and whatever. And so you got, six Statues of Liberty and 14 Barneys and 22 of what other animal and creature, Spider-Man, people want to take pictures of. I mean, it's just a whole wild scene. But now it's more like a kids' family kind of entertainment thing. And then on top of it, you got a whole nother topic, which I won't get into because we're coming on a lot of time here, but and we're heading towards another beautiful sunset and another beautiful mid-70s day here. While I know a lot of the country is suffering through this crazy cold streak, which, by the way, I really want to congratulate all that money, that government money and our taxpayer dollars. I guess it wasn't wasted that all went to this global warming thing, because clearly they have solved the problem and come up with the solution that most of the country is wrapped in complete ice cold record snows and whatever. So hey, those anti-global warming people, their stuff really worked. But anyway, I digress. So now you have the Times Square where a million people will be during the day. It's like a Disneyland where the kids are walking around. It's pretty much now the safest place to be in New York City at night. And just a couple of generations ago when I was a kid, like, it was the most dangerous place to be. And who knows what it's going to be like in 10 or 20 years, and then another 20 years and another 20. And so that's my point. That's a success story for today is Times Square itself, that just like the life of an entrepreneur, you never know what's happening next. Got to keep your pulse on what the people want and look, invest and take risks and look to what you think is going to be happening in the future. They've, from time to time, they've thought of building more office buildings there and taking away and knock down some of the theaters. Now there's talk they're putting up more theaters and taking away the office buildings. And so just like the life of an entrepreneur is pretty much the life, if there can be a life, of a place, of Times Square. It's a constantly changing, constantly fun, constantly adventurous area, just like all of us as entrepreneurs. So when you watch, if you do, or even think about New Year's Eve tomorrow in Times Square, think about yourself as an entrepreneur and congratulate yourself that just like Times Square, you never know what's going to happen, but that's what life's all about for us. We don't want the set lifestyle of the, hey, I get a job and somebody else determines when I go to work and what I do and how much I make and that's it. There's a ceiling on everything and all kinds of rules controlling me. We want the, hey, let's see what happens. Let's take a shot. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But I'd rather go to my grave saying I had a lot of fun and adventure and gave it a shot instead of I just settled for whatever the world was going to give me and had a victim mentality like so many non-entrepreneurs do these days. And so Ben is here too. Great seeing you, Ben. A lot of great entrepreneurs on the video today. Thanks for being here. Anybody, I should scroll through if there's any questions or comments, concerns. Brett Gilliland says, unions don't get me started. And that's about it. Everyone else is just saying hello. And with that, we'll call it a day here for Success Stories Saturday for December 30th, 2017. A last scroll through there. Don't see any other questions, comments, concerns. Thanks for all the likes and loves and whatever's going on there. And I wish everybody a happy New Year's Eve day tomorrow. I'll be back, as I always do on a Sunday, just to check in because I made a promise to you about 10 months ago now to record a new video every single day. But I'll check in and say hello tomorrow, and then I'm off to a swanky, fancy, schmancy, posh Halloween party with a client over in their fancy country club. So we'll see how that goes. I haven't even gone out on New Year's Eve probably in 15 years or so. So we'll have some fun there, and then I'll be back Monday with Direct Mail Monday. So thanks for being here today, and for everybody that won't be with me tomorrow, I'll take the time now to wish you a happy new year, and but I will be back tomorrow with another video, Halloween party. Did I say Halloween party? Yeah, I might have said Halloween party. I meant a New Year's Eve party. We will not be having a Halloween party tomorrow night. If I did say that, it sounds like something I would say, and perhaps I will dress as an entrepreneur tomorrow night and break all the rules and go as however I feel like it instead of the fancy schmancy black tie wearing a suit and tuxedo and all that kind of nonsense. And then I'll say, what? I thought it was a Halloween party. Anyway, that's it for today. Thanks for everyone being here live and watching on the replay. Thanks for all the likes. Happy New Year, everyone. I'll catch you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs hosted by Steve Cypress. Join us tomorrow for another exciting episode designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle. Also, go to rhinodaily.com for more great business exploding tips, strategies, and tactics from the world's top experts. Plus, snag your free copy of Money Making Monthly Magazine.
Goodbye.